the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, if I didn't know better, the news release that I saw from the Associated Press could have been written last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, because almost as often as you turn around, we are seeing a news story about the uncovering or the discovery or the bringing forth of an ossuary in the Holy Land. That's just a fancy term for a bone box. Why do we hear so often from the archaeological news that these things are being found? This one bears an interesting inscription. The name Jesus, does that mean anything? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Joining us to talk about the reported discovery of a burial box with the name Jesus, Dr. Craig Evans. He's Distinguished Professor of Christian Origins and Dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University, author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. Dr. Evans, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to be with you.
Seems as often as we talk, we are making reference to some new ossuary being discovered. Why are we talking about these artifacts so often?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's for a couple of reasons. For one, ossuaries have a very, very, very long life. They're ceramic or they're made of limestone. And by their very nature, they're hidden away in a burial vault or in a cave or a tomb or something. That gives them a survivability. That means these things can be around, you know, thousands of years. And so that's one of the big reasons for it. So a whole village could be gone, just a few stones left. You don't know one thing about anybody who lived in that village, but we do find a tomb. We find some burial caves, and inside we find the remains of those people. And that leads to the second point, is that some of these ossuaries, about one quarter of them, on average, have names written on them. So we actually have the names of the people who once lived there. And that leads to a third point, the reason why we're always talking about ossuaries and the reason the AP story came out today is because we find the name Jesus sometimes, and not just the name Jesus, Yeshua or Yeshu, but we find the names of some of his disciples, or at least the same names that his disciples had, such as John or James or Mary and so forth. And so what this does is it takes the literary Jesus and his disciples that we encounter in the Gospels that are written down, and we now find the artifactual evidence. We actually find out, you know what, these are real names. People were named that 2,000 years ago. And of course, then you find the ossuaries, and if the ossuaries have not been tampered with by grave robbers, we find skeletons inside them. We can do autopsies. Yes, believe it or not, we can examine bones that are 2,000 years old and learn all kinds of things. How tall the person was, did he have any health problems, likely cause of death, how old the person was at the time of death. All of this kind of information can be gleaned from it. And what we learn is that about one-third of people in Jesus' day made it to adulthood. That tells us that a lot of people were sick, a lot of people died prematurely. And then when we read in the Gospels that Jesus was pursued by crowds hoping to be healed by him, it all makes sense. And so these ossuaries, in fact, are very informative, and that's one of the reasons why I think they always make the news. And of course, this warehouse, I've been inside it. It has hundreds of ossuaries in it, and I've been in it myself and had the privilege of looking at every single ossuary in this warehouse and taking photographs of a couple hundred of them. So it's a rich treasure house.
Do we know yet the provenance of this particular Jesus ossuary?
We probably do. In most cases, the ossuaries that I've looked at, we have Jesus's name on several of them, so that's not unusual. Usually they've been found by excavators. That's why they're in this warehouse, because it's the warehouse that belongs to the Israel Antiquities Authority. It's at a place called Beth Shemesh. It's just about 15-minute, 20-minute drive from Jerusalem. And so the ossuaries in the possession of the IAA means almost all of them were recovered during a legitimate archaeological excavation. So there is a record, there is a catalog, and so we know where they were found. And all of these ossuaries, such as the one in the AP story, they all date from about 20 BC until the 60s AD. So we're talking about an 80, 90-year period of time. They all look about the same, same dimensions, similar rosette designs, those circles on the sides. So it's not too hard to figure out where they came from. The ossuaries that we don't always know, they're the ones in private hands because somebody found them. They were looted 100 years ago or more. They're now flower boxes on the back porches of some houses. They wind up in private hands. And that, in those cases, all we can say is probably came from Jerusalem or maybe Jericho. And so we're less sure of provenance.
And this is kind of a clock or a calendar for archaeologists because the use of these among Jews was over a fairly limited amount of time, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. The idea of gathering bones and even relocating bones after somebody had been dead for a period of time, that has a long history. You actually read it in Genesis where Joseph the patriarch wants his bones to be taken out of Egypt with the people of Israel when they left Egypt and went to the Promised Land, where Israel is today. But this distinctive ossuary, almost all of them made from limestone, many of them probably leftover stones from the quarrying that took place during Herod the Great's time and his successors when the Temple Mount was expanded and a new temple was built. That's when a lot of these were generated. And that's why when I say the dates 20, 25, 30 B.C., or so until the 60s. Well, if you know your history, you realize that's when the Temple Mount was being expanded and a new temple built. And so there were lots of stonemasons. Josephus, the Jewish historian, talks about several thousand stonemasons at work in and around Jerusalem. So there would have been countless thousands of blocks of limestone. We are told in about one day a stonemason can turn a block of stone into an ossuary. Might take another day or two to add a lot of decoration. The more decorated it is, the more expensive it is. And so we have ossuaries that are very plain and simple and some that are absolutely beautiful and ornate. And as I said earlier, about one quarter of them have something written on them. And that usually involves somebody's name.
And the name Jesus, even the AP at this point, is not engaging any kind of speculation. They just say, archaeologists say, that the name was extraordinarily common.
Yeah, that's right. It was about 6 or 7% of all men had the name Jesus. About the same number had the name Joseph. About the same number had the name Jacob. And so when you add that up, it's about one man in four or five is going to have one of those three names. And I mention those three names because of the James ossuary that was celebrated and much talked about 15 years ago. And we have, it says James or Jacob, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, written on it. Well, there is a reasonable chance that ossuary belongs to the Holy Family, so to speak. But again, those names are so common that there is no certainty. Maybe there's one chance in five or six that ossuary belonged to the James we know so well in the book of Acts. But the names are so common, there's just no way anyone can prove it.
With only about a minute or so here, I'm just fascinated by the concept of this gigantic cavernous warehouse that has all of these artifacts that are being carefully cataloged by the Antiquities Bureau there, but actually sitting down and examining them in detail would take centuries, it seems, of work.
Yeah, it would. You're right, Todd. And many of these artifacts, they were simply brought from the dig site. They were briefly photographed, quickly looked at. If there were any skeletal contents in them, that, of course, was emptied and properly buried at some other location. But you're right. And it took me all afternoon with a graduate assistant to simply eyes on, look at each ossuary and decide which ones I wanted to photograph. I actually did handle a few of them, move them around so I could see better the end or the back or whatever. But you're right, there are hundreds in there. The IAA has in its possession about 1,000 of these, and most of them are in this warehouse, this 54,000 square foot warehouse. And so you could live in there and you could spend days on end just trying to work your way through everything there. It's like right out of an Indiana Jones movie. It really is something to see.
Dr. Craig Evans is a distinguished professor of Christian origins and dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University, author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence, and Jesus and the Ossuaries. When you purchase these books using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for Jesus and His World and Jesus on the Ossuaries by Dr. Craig Evans. Dr. Evans, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to find out why Noni Darwish chose biblical values over the values that she was born to, that is, those of Islam. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Law and Gospel, the Reformation Solas, the Theology of the Cross, the Means of Grace, Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.